I want me some glory hope.
Prescott, he starts to come and then he pulls out.
How about them Cowboys?
Joe, we gotta work on our communication.
Yeah.
I didn't know what you were asking me.
I asked if that was it.
No, that wasn't it. So, thanks for listening to the Paul Gallant Show. I appreciate it.
I must have missed the hanging with the boys, or at least the intro for it.
Did it every week because we were looking for ratings. So why not talk about the Dallas Cowboys? Because that's what all the ESPN shows do.
Yeah. We'll talk about them a little bit later, too, because they got called out today, or yesterday, by Sir Charles. Which I very much, very much enjoy.
I didn't know that he did a drive-by on them, too.
Well, I think that's who he was. I think that's who he was targeted at. The drive-by was at First Take.
Gotcha. Okay.
At least that's my interpretation. Okay. We'll play the audio a little bit later. But it's time to hang out with the boys. What do we got today? What are we hanging out with? What are we talking about?
Well, there's a lot of stories about the Dallas Cowboys right now. And, my God, some of them are just delicious. And I'm sure that this was the A block or B block on one of the Speak for Your Pizza shows on all of those networks across the land. But Ezekiel Elliott had an introductory press conference back with the Dallas Cowboys.
Wild.
He says the Cowboys have unfinished business.
Mm.
I'm just here to chase a dream, said Elliott last night. It was important to get back here and finish what I started.
Mm.
Dak Prescott co-signed it. Ezekiel Elliott, 1 year, $3 million. Can't put a price on a Super Bowl ring.
No, you can't.
He's the difference.
Even though it's probably worth more than $3 million if you win it. Eventually. Oh, maybe not. Maybe like $1 million.
I don't think a Super Bowl ring goes for that much.
You don't think Ezekiel Elliott Super Bowl ring would go for like... I feel like Cowboys fans are pretty loony, Ben.
I'm shaking my head on that.
It's not Tom Brady. Tom Brady has 8 of them or whatever.
Yeah, but a Super Bowl ring generally, from what I understand, I think we learned this based off of like certain players who like have to pawn it off. I feel like Super Bowl rings have generally gone for 50 to 100,000, which is crazy that people will pay more for a baseball than for a Super Bowl ring.
All right, yeah. Lawrence Taylor sold for $230,000. In 2012.
That's one of the greatest players of all time.
Yeah. It was a long time ago.
Ezekiel Elliott, Cowboys Super Bowl ring. I don't know. I'm you know, if I were those fellows on that Pawn Star show,
yeah,
I think I would say, like, take it or leave it, like, 110,000. And I hope some oil baron in Dallas is going to, you know, pull the trigger on that.
I mean, who knows what CJ Stroud's Super Bowl ring will be worth, because it'll be the first one in franchise history this year.
Won't be worth more than Lawrence Taylor, though.
Good point. But yeah, whatever. It's just press conference cliche. I just can't believe they gave him a press conference.
Well, I can't either, because they think that he can lead a running back by committee backfield.
Yeah, like you don't give a committee a committee guy a press conference.
I feel like this is their way of placating Cowboys fans who are frustrated that they went
big
all
time
in but didn't actually go all in this offseason. So they're just bringing the band back together.
Yeah, this is definitely like an art of like deception of, I know you're upset, but hey, Ezekiel Elliott's back and he gets his number back from college. So he's going to be a new number as well. So you can buy new Ezekiel Elliott jerseys. That's what this is. Like, it's just, it's buy new jerseys and hope.
Because he's wearing 15 this time around. You're right.
Yeah, he's wearing 15. So, I mean, like, he was okay with the Patriots a little bit. Like, he
actually played well for the Patriots.
He had some moments,
year.
But this is not what you would define as all in.
Right. He was actually their best offensive player last
year.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer, because, like, I really like Ramondre Stevenson. He bummed me out last year.
Yeah, injuries and stuff.
But Zeke will be, it'll be fine, but, God, they have so many problems. They're the team on, like, the opposite side of the Cardinals for me. Of, like, good team, but did nothing, has just lost pieces. They just lost Michael Gallup as well to free agency, and I think he signed with the Raiders. I think it was. I don't know about them. I'm so curious what they look like in 2024.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see. Daron Bland, Mr. 5 pick sixes last year.
Crazy. He's really, that's so crazy.
He's really excited about Trevon Diggs' return as well.
Mm.
I know what Trey's going to come back with. It's going to be something dangerous.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
That's the Cowboys.
Can't wait to watch them get cooked by the Texans on Thanksgiving.
Hell yeah, dude.
Trevon Diggs is a good corner.
He's a gambler, though.
But he's a big-time gambler.
He's a gambler.
Like, every those two guys are going to have a ton. I cannot believe Jerron Bland had 5 pick sixes last year.
It is
absurd.
It really is. If you had him on your fantasy football team, you're doing great.
Yeah.
One of the things with those gambling corners, I hate them. I hate the gunslinger quarterbacks. They throw too many picks. And the guys who take gambles, Asante Samuel, before he dropped the game-winning interception in the Super Bowl that shall not be named, the play before the David Tyree catch, before he dropped that was right in his hands, look it up on YouTube. Oh, my God, it was right there. He should have caught it. I could have caught that. Literally, I could have caught that, even though I had bad hands and had to play defense back sometimes because of that. Whatever! It doesn't matter. To bring it back to this, I hate those corners who gamble. And this guy gambles a ton.
You can gamble a little. It's irresponsible.
Yeah.
You can't gamble on every single play. And it feels like Diggs gambles on every single play. He's out there. Fun to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Diggs versus Diggs would be very entertaining on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I really hope we get that.
Yeah.
I really do.
It would be nice.
I know you don't want that.
I don't want what?
You don't want to watch the Texans on Thanksgiving.
I mean, I don't want to work on Thanksgiving, so yeah.
Well, it'll be a road game.
Still, I don't want to work on Thanksgiving.
We're going to do a stream?
Got to do a stream.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, you know, got to put that content on the internet, you know? People don't take a day off. Yeah, I hate how the NFL has just kind of invaded every single holiday, but hey, whatever.
That they have.
It would be fun to have a Texans-Cowboys game on Thanksgiving, I suppose. Trey Lance, fifth-year option not picked up by the Dallas Cowboys, so I guess he's not the future of the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm not surprised by this. I think there's a chance that he's still on the team next year and could be their quarterback. If they're really going to move on from Dak Prescott, I don't know what their other options would be. You're going to go into the draft?
Yeah,
they're going to be good enough to where they're going to have 8 wins at a bare minimum.
You would think so.
You're not going to be in a position to draft a quarterback. You're going to have $40, $50 million in dead cap space, I think it's from Dak Prescott, even if he just walks in free agency because of the way they restructured his contract. He's not. I thought there was a better chance he would get a better opportunity somewhere than this.
Yeah, I mean, this is a pretty good opportunity though. If there's an injury that happens, Trey Lance needs a tack to get hurt. So I'm not suggesting a Nancy Kerrigan, Tonya Harding situation, but it might be in his best interest to try to make that happen. Don't do it, Trey. I know you're tempted. Don't do it.
Dak Prescott's going to have one of those off-the-field injuries, and I can't wait to hear your conspiracy theories the next day now.
I mean, listen, if it's a weird injury like a baseball player that can't throw it out.
You think they sell Trey Lance jerseys?
They have Davis Mills jerseys.
That's why I brought it up.
So a friend of the radio station, Kevin Joseph, who occasionally comes out to work covering Texans games. I see him there from time to time. He's a good dude. He tweeted out a picture of a Davis Mills brand spanking new Houston Texans jersey. He tweeted this out. He tagged Lance and Dell. Why would they even print this BS and attempt to sell it in stores? And it has been ratioed on a level that is very surprising. I think somewhat sarcastically, I think some of the Mills Mafia fans are sarcastic, but a lot of people are saying, like, hey, man, like, he's on the team, and you got to respect Davis Mills because he threw that touchdown pass in that game that allowed the Texans to ultimately get C.J. Stroud.
I mean, the team shop is one thing because, like, I guess you just have space in there, but congratulations on wasting your money, Texans. It's literally just going to end up on clearance.
Well, that's what I mean. If it goes straight to clearance, I would think about getting it. If it goes straight to clearance, I would think about getting it.
Okay, so like typically they're like $100, the cheaper jerseys. So what's your price point for a Davis Mills jersey?
50.
50?
Yeah, I do 50.
Okay.
Just give me somebody that knows how to unstitch Mills from the back.
Well, see, those are the $150 jerseys.
Yeah, so I'll go 50 for the $150 version of that, and I will unstitch the lettering on the back.
Yeah, I don't know.
You
Why are we doing this?
Why are we doing this is a great question.
Why are they making Davis Mills jerseys? They don't make Trey Lance jerseys. I don't care that he's on the team.
It was interesting seeing the amount of jerseys out there of players that I don't think a lot of people will purchase, especially now that the team is good. I saw a lot of Jalen Petrie jerseys. I saw a lot of Jimmy Ward jerseys. And, yeah, I feel like right now, like, the Diggs jerseys, the Stroud jerseys, the Dell jerseys.
Nico. Anderson,
and then probably Nico afterwards.
Yeah.
Those are the ones I imagine are flying off the shelves.
Tell you what, I would not spend a dime on a Stephon Diggs jersey.
You wouldn't?
He's going to be gone. That's a waste of money. He's not going to be on the team next year.
Doesn't age well.
Yeah, like, I get it. Everyone will be excited he's on the team this year, but I'm not a broke boy, but I don't like to spend my money that willy-nilly.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
Like, I'm not going to buy a $100 Stephon Diggs jersey and watch it walk out the door and they'll be like, that guy's not on the team anymore.
What if it's the H-Town Blue one? And what if he ends up staying here? What if there's a second contract?
That's a good point. I'm probably going Tank Dell. I think that's jersey.
Short King.
Yeah.
Solidarity.
Stand together.
He just broke his chest.
What?
You just
Short
beat your,
Kings.
Just beat your chest like a gorilla. You've seen too many of those commercials for the war for the Planet of the Apes.
Don't need it. Don't
wait. What is this one now? Because was the war the last one? Is this the rise of the start of the dawn of the Planet of the Apes? Ape around.
It's Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Thank you, Sean Mapes, back at Mission Control.
How many of these more do we have to get until we catch up to the actual Planet of the Apes? Like the original one.
With Charlton Heston, I think this is essentially the first recreation of that, but it's from the ape perspective as opposed to Charlton Heston's perspective. You damn the apes! You killed them! You killed them all!
You like those movies? The original ones?
I've never seen the original ones. I've seen the recent ones.
Yeah.
And not the one where there was one movie that came out with Mark Wahlberg. That one was not very good. That one was not very good.
Yeah, I don't think I saw that one.
That one was not very good. But the ones that we have seen with the CGI, starting with the James Franco ones, they've all actually been pretty good.
Yeah, I've enjoyed them.
The last one, I think, had Woody Harrelson, the bad guy. I think I started that movie on like Hulu, and I didn't finish watching it, but I was like, oh, this isn't bad.
It's actually one of those things that annoys me that I kind of wanted to watch all of them, but none of them are on the same services. So you can find one or two on... like Netflix or one or two on HBO, and like this
they're all on Hulu now.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know. So I'm gonna maybe that's what I'll do this weekend.
Hell yeah!
I'm not here. I'm off tomorrow, so maybe I'll just watch a bunch of Planet of the Apes movies before I work on Saturday. all right, we're in a new world of social media in which college football coaches and their quarterbacks, specifically play for the University of Colorado, are going on the attack on social media, and it has just become a bad, bad look for everyone involved. We're going to do that next year on Glatton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Back to Glatton George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Winfield Crowbar.
All right, tomorrow night here at Winfield Crowbar, Tejano night, starts at 8 p.m., live music, no cover. On Saturday, they'll have the Canelo fight, UFC 301, no cover for that as well. Big fight weekend, Kentucky Derby's also on Saturday. And then Sunday for Cinco de Mayo, the drink specials, the DJ, mariachi band performing in the afternoon. So plenty of stuff going on this weekend at Wakefield Crowbar. Come on out. Weather's cleared up. Looks nice outside. So if it's nice by you, come on by. Get a lunch. Get some beers. Some drinks. Enjoy your day. Go home. The weather's bad. Who wants to work today? Come hang out with us. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. Us and the Killer Bees. But, Paul, this story kind of started up again recently. The Athletic has decided that they were going to start kind of retelling the story of the players that got kicked off campus, basically, in Colorado. Like, the football players that were told by Dion last year, you're not good enough to be here. You might as well just transfer. Don't stay. And it was a big deal at the time because they had, you know, like 50 players leave. But now they're starting to tell the story. But now we've started to get these weird back and forths with Shedeur Sanders and Deion Sanders are on social media kind of attacking some of these guys. It's just a very bizarre situation that we've really never seen where a quarterback, the betting favorite to be the number one pick in the 2025 NFL draft, and a head coach and Hall of Famer are going out of their way to just drag these guys who they asked to leave.
Right. Look, I think first the players who are whining about this publicly look bad. I think to bring up that Deion Sanders said, yeah, you're probably not going to play here, and then staying with the team thinking that he's going to change his mind when he actually was that frank and open with you and being upset that he didn't take the time to get to know you, that is 100% Gen Z, I'm the center of the universe mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You're not. You're competing with tons of other players. It is not the job of a football coach running a team with 100 players or so, most of whom are on scholarship, to cater to the whims of every single one of them just because the guy was a five-star recruiter or something at one point. So I think going public with it and complaining about your treatment, no sympathy from me. Mm-hmm. No sympathy from anybody, really. It didn't work out. Go somewhere else. Make it work out somewhere else. It sucks that it didn't work out for you at Colorado. There's got to be other opportunities for you. So he looks bad at first, but I think that the Colorado Buffaloes look remarkably small in engaging with this. Specifically, Shedeur Sanders saying, like, well, you were mid, we don't even remember you.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow it getting to the point because a couple of other players were pushing back at Shedeur Sanders dunking on this guy. Other players ended up getting called out. And eventually Deion Sanders entered the fray and said, like, I've got time. And it's like, yeah, clearly, because you're not doing any recruiting, because everyone's leaving your program and you have one of the worst recruiting classes that there is right now.
Yeah.
And I love Deion. I think it's been fun to see Deion at the college level, but that the Colorado Buffaloes are now engaging with players who have transferred to Austin, PA is ridiculous. Or Austin P, I think it is.
Yeah, it's a bad look. It just all around. I think Deion, as great as a coach as he could be, you won four games last year.
They sucked. After that Oregon game where they got skull bleeped on national TV and embarrassed by the entire country, there should have been a private reckoning, a look at themselves in the mirror, and a question that they should have asked themselves is, did we get too high off of our own supply? And the answer is obviously yes.
Yeah, but the problem is they haven't looked in the mirror yet to still realize that. They're still acting like that. They're still acting in the way that Nick Saban had the right to act, in which he didn't act. They're a 4-8 football team in which they said, we're not going to recruit. We're going to rely on the transfer portal, and we're going to hope that it solves all of our problems. Deion Sanders, at this point, is going to be fired by the University of Colorado within the next 2 years. Like,
I don't know if they have the money to buy him out.
I don't think that this is going to work. Like, you can't win in college football if you're not going to recruit. And you are not, like, Deion talks about this too, which I find ironic. When he talks about, when I walk into a room, the kids might not know who I am, but the parents do. And I don't know how, like, you're going to go into these people's homes and you're going to talk to young men like this on social media and how parents are going to say, yes, my son is going to go to Colorado, and if he's not good enough, you're going to embarrass him on social media. You're the only coach in college sports who does that.
To be fair, in this back and forth, Deion, it seems like, just retweeted it.
Yeah, but it's an endorsement.
And defended his son.
Yeah.
But he's engaging in it, and he's not that far removed from the actual attack by Shedeur on this ex-player. And, yeah, Shedeur should worry about himself. I get that he's the front runner to be, like, a top QB taken off in next year's draft class, and he did have a really good season last year, but you would think that when you've been just beaten down for the last 2 months of the year in the way that Colorado was, you would think that you're going to be quiet until you have actually earned a little bit of that respect back. The first month of the year was so fun watching that team. Really was. Everyone was watching them, too.
It was great.
They were ratings goldmine.
Number one story.
But they lose a couple of times, and everyone stopped caring. And now this is how you're calling attention to yourself, is by getting in an argument online, which is the most pointless thing in the world. Like, earlier today, I saw Jeremy doing his engagement tactics, and it's fine. You know, do you? He's very good at Twitter. And I realized in the middle of it, like, why am I arguing with him over whether or not the Texans should sign Will Fuller as a fifth wide receiver?
Oh, no.
This is why I'm off Instagram. This is why I'm off TikTok. There's no reason to get in an argument with anybody online. And I get it, for us, it's kind of a part of our jobs, but not really. We're supposed to be doing this for 3 hours, delivering high-energy, fun content that entertains people. And some people out there, they can't help but keep those rabbit ears up, check what people are saying about them online, and it's just not healthy. And it's also a bad look when you played like crap the year before. Everyone should focus on them. If this guy didn't like the way he was treated, fine. It's a one-time thing, and I think most people are probably going to look at him and say, like, dude, you transferred to Austin Peay. It's not even a Division I school.
Yeah.
Who cares what you have to say? You probably weren't that good. Like, it sort of speaks for itself. Instead, the Colorado Cognoscenti, or I guess the best players at Colorado are the ones that seem to be weighing in on this, specifically Shedeur Sanders. And I get that it's the offseason, but what's the win here? What's the win in dunking on some guy that transferred for a D1 AA school and said, like, oh, they weren't nice to me?
Yeah, I just think that it's their egos have kind of gotten remarkably larger after a 4-1 season. Look at their schedule for next year. It's not that good. It's really not. They have a pretty easy Big 12 schedule. The best teams on their schedule next year are probably going to be Nebraska, who they play week two. Arizona could be good this year. Texas Tech, Utah. They should win 8 games this year. But even the stuff, like, what annoys me about this is, like, I think, like, Deion, what he's always talked about since he came back was, like, I'm going to let my kids be them. I'm not going to predict this and this and this. Like he said on one of the Barstool podcasts, like, I'm not going to predict the national championship. I guess it was Dan Patrick. I'm not going to predict the Big 12 championship. I'm not going to predict a national championship. But instead what we hear from him is like, well, I'm only going to let my son play for these 6 teams. Him and Travis Hunter are both going to be top 5 picks. I'm like, hey, man, like,
yeah,
it's not that I want Deion to be good. Deion is good for college football. I don't like this, and I'm curious – do you think that there are front offices that are looking at Shedeur Sanders
they're
right now?
They're rolling their eyes, yes.
100%. With a side eye?
They're rolling their eyes. And I mean, Deion is the kind of personality where, I mean, he might weigh in on the son. And he is so relevant as one of the greatest NFL players ever that would be annoying noise for a head coach to deal with. Imagine getting second-guessed by Deion Sanders.
Wait till they win 2 games, the team that he's on. And Shedeur Sanders walks up to the podium and goes, you know what? This isn't working. This coach should be fired, and they should hire my dad. Wait till that happens.
I mean, theoretically, if Shedeur Sanders has a great year, and I know that Deion Sanders says he wants to stay at the NFL, but he also said he wanted to stay at a HBCU and didn't stay very long there. If Sanders is one of those guys who's picked top 5, there's a very good chance that he's going to be replacing a fired coach and that – his father might come with him.
I mean, Deion has been pretty adamant that he does not want to coach in the NFL. That he really wants to stay in college football.
But I wonder after this past season with the fact that he's looking at the transfer portal and thinking to himself that he can win here. Well, maybe it's easier to win in the pros. Instead, it's a little bit easier to recruit guys in,
work.
I guess. To a degree, yeah. It's a totally different job. I agree. It's less work. It's less headache. I mean, Deion's got to also, you know, build up a program in Colorado that's been just doo-doo since the mid-90s.
It is a tall task.
I mean, they used to be so good. I know, back when they had Cordell Stewart and Ted Johnson. Who's the receiver? Like Michael Westbrook and some other guys. And, yeah, they've been bad for a while, and they don't have money because of that. And they sucked last year. They were 4-8.
Yeah. But it was a huge improvement. It really was.
It's really like, what is the most desperate organization in the NFL? Here's my dream scenario. It's that the Jets have yet another horrible year with Aaron Rodgers, and that they blow out Robert Saleh. They are 100% the team that would, one, hire Deion Sanders as a head coach. Constant little brother syndrome in New York. And two, would draft Shedeur Sanders. That is the one team that I know would do it. Those losers.
Man. Yeah, right now it's like...
It would involve Aaron Rodgers, again, tearing his Achilles like the first play of the season and stuff, because I do think the Jets with Aaron Rodgers will be good. But if they don't have him, oh boy.
Yeah, these are always just based off odds, but I was curious what the odds were looking like for us to be the first pick in the draft next year.
Who's number one?
Right now the projections are the Broncos.
Well, they got Sean Payton.
Yeah, so...
Who's number two?
Giants.
Man, would they get rid of Brian Daboll after
three seasons? And I don't know if I see Deion coaching the Giants. That seems like one where he throws a temper tantrum to not allow Shedeur to play there.
I also wonder if the Giants family... I'm thinking about Giants head coaches. I don't think the Giants have had a black head coach before. I could be wrong on that. I have to look it up.
I think that sounds right. I think that sounds correct. All right, when we get back, our 10-minute drill, what's going on in the NFL? That's next year on Glenn George, broadcasting live from Wakefield Crowbar on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Stand! Hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
All right, the Miami Dolphins, apparently, Stephen Ross, rejected a $10 billion deal.
Yeah, to buy the Dolphins.
Wow.
And the property where Hard Rock Stadium is.
Man.
If I'm a Dolphins fan, I'm so bummed out hearing that $10 billion couldn't pry the Dolphins away from that bozo.
Yeah, I mean, weren't they talking about taking the team away from him at one point during the Brady stuff that was going on?
I'm not sure if they were talking about taking the team away from him, because I don't think that he, you know, did the things that usually get teams to be taken away by the league. It usually involves some sort of sexual harassment in the NFL, whether it's Dan Snyder or it's Jerry Richardson and his love of jeans. So I don't remember that, but I do know that Stephen Ross is a bozo owner and that the Dolphins have been a bad organization since he's been in charge, even though they've had Mike McDaniel as a head coach. He and Woody Johnson, people would talk about how the Patriots had it easy. Well, like, those two helped. They suck.
Yeah, I do feel bad for Dolphins fans.
I don't. I hope that they suffer forever.
Why do you hate them so much?
Patriots fan.
Yeah, but they're like...
No, I want all of those teams to be bad
forever.
They're like
bugs on the windshield for you.
Right. Well, I have to go to the car wash.
I guess they did have some success.
They did beat them, I think, for the division title once. And they would beat them occasionally in games.
Yeah, like it seemed like of everyone in the division, they had the best chance to win.
Probably, yes.
More
often than not, they would split with the Dolphins for some reason, yes.
Ronnie Brown.
Mm-hmm. The Hail Mary game.
The Hail Mary. That is one of the worst plays I've ever seen.
Oh, man.
Gronk out there.
Gronk, what are you doing?
Just flailing around. What an all-time bad move by Bill Belichick.
This is definitely an owner that I would imagine most Dolphins fans want out. And I'm curious as to how many more fan bases have owners that they would like to get rid of. Right. I mean, are you there with the McCaskies, the Bears?
Oh, yeah. I've been there for sure.
Been there for a while.
Yeah. Well, because they're the worst. They have the weirdest ownership group set up in the NFL. It's more odd than the Packers. Because the Packers, like, people have these, like, fake pieces of paper that say they're owners of the Packers.
Oh, yeah. The People's Republic of Green Bay.
Yeah, but they're really not. Like, they're really not owners of the Packers.
Oh, so it is like communism. Okay, yes. Interesting.
We're like, the Bears.
Just make jokes about it.
The Bears, there's, like, these 10 kids. And, like, half of them are on record to sell that they want rid of the team.
So yeah, they don't want to pay that. They don't want to pay the inheritance tax.
Like speaking of stadiums, like they just had this disaster with the stadium in Chicago, where like they said they were going to go to a lakefront stadium. They were not going to move to the suburbs, like they had talked about, and then the city of Chicago dumped on it after one meeting. It didn't make it out of one meeting to approve it.
It looked cool though, the pictures.
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it? Why not? Do you want Chicago's riverfront to be pristine?
It looked exactly like the Vegas stadium.
Yeah, that's cool.
Like, I thought it was too replica. It's like the ballparks that all look like Minute Maid.
Yeah, but Chicago could use something that looks like that to distract from all the AK-47s in the streets.
Fact. They'll get one eventually.
So they're up there.
And then the Washington Stadium's coming down, too.
Yeah, but will it come down while the team's inside it? Probably.
Oh, that reminds me of...
Oh, man, I feel so bad for that guy. The people who were sitting underneath the
oh, when it fell?
When the poop fell out of the, like, ceiling or whatever, like the undercarriage of, like, one of the rafters or something like that. God, that's a... Nothing worse than poop water.
Yeah, that happened, and there was the one, was it Jalen Hurts? Like, he was, like, walking by, and then, like, the fans were leaning right by
the
tunnel.
Yeah, the railing broke. Yeah, dude, yeah.
Oh, man. What a dump of a franchise that Washington is. Maybe their new owner will figure it out, but they've got such a hill to climb.
I don't know. I mean, like, the biggest obstacle for them right now is, like, this stadium. Who would want to go to a game there? And the players, who would want to play on that field?
And the thing is, they're probably going to change their name again, too.
That would be
like they've talked about not staying as the Commanders with the new ownership group. It's like they might change it again. They'll have four team names in like 6 years.
That would be funny. I mean, yeah, they probably should have never just left Washington Football Team. I think people eventually got used to it.
I kind of liked it at some point.
I think it should be the Hogs.
The Hogs is good.
Well, that was like their back in the John Riggins days. Yeah. They called the offensive linemen there the Hogs, and similar color scheme.
You pay homage like your history.
Yeah, you're paying homage to the history. Yeah. And I mean I don't know if there's like wild javelinas or boars or things like that in the greater area, but yeah, I think that works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe some people don't want it to be hogs because hogs are another way to describe the main vein and such.
Mm.
But no, I think that should be the nickname.
There was a podcast session going on recently with Cam Hayward of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He had one of his teammates on, Jaylen Warren, and they were discussing the new kick return rules.
Yep.
And how excited they are about them. And if he would want to do it, even though they just signed Cordarrelle Patterson. And he shared some insight of what the special teams coordinator is thinking for kick returns next year. Guess who they're thinking about putting on kick returns next year, the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I don't know.
Justin Fields.
Damn, that is a blow to the ego. I mean...
All I can do is laugh. I'm such an idiot. I can't believe I believed he was going to be good.
He might be good on special teams.
I think he would be good on
special
teams. Big
guy. He's fast.
Yeah.
But that would piss me off.
They had to be joking.
I don't know.
But the fact that he even has like come up as like, well, maybe we'll use Justin in this way.
I don't know, man. Those sound like high thoughts.
Probably.
I mean, you can't say that publicly before the quarterback competition even begins.
Yeah, the special teams coach is probably regretting that.
He's got a chance to beat Russell Wilson there. Yeah, if you're a special teams coach, I mean, I guess you're never going to be working with Justin Fields unless he's like a holder or something like that. But yeah, it's going to be a little awkward to walk by in the hallway.
Like, dude, kick returner? Really? Like, you don't think I'm better than Russell Wilson?
You know what? Kick returner, that would be okay. Like, kick returner would be the one thing where I'm like, okay, well, that's showing respect to his athletic ability. Are they saying kick returner, or were they saying on the kick return team?
The kick returner.
Okay, this makes a little bit more sense. Again, still a bad look for Justin Fields' future prospects and the actual quarterback competition theoretically happening. No, I was thinking, like, he's going to be in coverage on the kickoff team or something like that. Or blocking or something.
Oh, no. It's not Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow, remember when
tight
he...
end, yeah.
And he was on the punt team for the Jets.
Did he make it through one cut when he came back to the Jaguars to be a tight end?
I think they did keep him through the first cut, and then I think they got rid of him after that. And it was like a pity cut, or like a pity keep. I still can't. I always forget about that with Urban Meyer. Like, of all the weird things he did, like, he brought Tim Tebow back into training camp. And then Jermaine Johnson of the New York Jets was in an interview with the NFL.com.
He had some great advice.
He said, all the success in the world is leased and rented. So, yeah, you can enjoy the little accolades or success you have. If you don't grind and bust your butt and go to work again and again and again, you're going to lose it.
Yeah, it's never owned.
It's never owned. Success is not owned. That's good advice
from a Jets player. Funny thing was, I read this article on Pro Football Talk, and it said, like, Jets defensive end Jermaine Johnson was a first-round pick in 2022, but only had 2.5 sacks. And I was like, oh, man, that's it? And he's giving advice now? But I guess he made the Pro Bowl last year with 7.5 sacks. Man, the Pro Bowl is really...
gone downhill.
They really can just get rid of it.
Can we call Pro Bowlers by their proper name, like Pro Bowl alternates? I'm assuming Jermaine Johnson II was a Pro Bowl alternate.
7.5 sacks? Yeah. He's an alternate. It's got to be.
Right. I mean, Will Fuller had 7 sacks, I think, period. But no 0.5, but he was a rookie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish they would just do the All-Pro. And then if they want to have, like, the games that they're doing, the Pro Bowl, the dodgeball, the flag football, you can invite players to be part of that. They don't even need to be star players. But, like, putting them and trying to do this Pro Bowl thing that they've been doing is just so... They're going to be like the NBA. The NBA is just going to kill it, I think. I think we're getting there. I think the NBA is just going to kill their All-Star game, finally.
I don't know.
Because Adam Silver seems so upset.
He seemed mad about it, but so I mean, are they just going to stop playing it altogether? Like, it still gets numbers, even if it's not good.
Well, that's the thing with the NFL Pro Bowl,
The Pro Bowl got numbers, even if it wasn't good, too.
Yeah, the Pro Bowl is better than all the NBA. It's better ratings than all the NBA games are on that day.
I think people are frustrated with it, but, like, if you get rid of, you know, the NBA players love All-Star Weekend. Assuming it's not being hosted in dumpy cities. And I think this past year, maybe the players were protesting a little bit. Because where was it? Utah or Indiana?
Yeah, I think
it was somewhere terrible and white. Yeah. No offense
there's no whiteies out there. No, there's no one to party.
If you're an NBA player, do you want to go to an all-white people city? Probably
no,
not.
They want to be in Vegas and L.A. and New York.
Houston. And New Orleans. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where they want to be. All right, when we get back... Last night, you never know what you're going to see in a game of baseball. Sometimes you get a two-hour delay. Why? Because of bees. Talk about that next year on Glatton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Wakefield Crowbar. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
We didn't get to this yesterday, but on Tuesday night there was a two-hour delay in the Dodgers-Diamondbacks game because there was a beehive on top of the net.
Bees are dangerous.
Yes.
Have you seen My Girl?
No.
My Girl is a movie, Brian McDonald is nodding his head, where Macaulay Culkin and some young child actress at the time, like their best friends. And spoiler alert, because it's a really sad moment, but Macaulay Culkin gets killed to death by bees. And ever since I saw that moment... For the longest time, Joe.
Scared of bees.
I was scared of bees because I figured like a swarm of bees can take you out. It's not like one or two. It's a swarm that can get you. And I think we all have a natural reaction when we see something that's yellow and black to be like at least for a moment a little bit jumpy.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe more so with wasps or hornets than with, you know, your routine honeybee or a bumblebee or something like that. But... It was pretty crazy that they stopped the game for 2 hours for that. And shout out to that beekeeper who I hope got laid later that night.
I'm sure he did.
That beekeeper.
He was a star.
He put on an effing show. I don't know if you guys saw this. They bring him in. They're like slowly putting the elevator in. He gets to the top. He removes the bees safely by giving them one of those little drugs that I guess knocks them out. He puts them in a portable bee carrying case.
Uh-huh.
Takes them out. And yeah, he raises his hands up in victory when he's done. I mean, is it as amusing as baseball? Is it as entertaining as baseball? I would argue at times, yes, especially considering how bad the Astros have been to start off the year. And it's all because people are either allergic to or scared of bees. I'd assume that's why they stopped the game.
Well.
Because a foul ball hits it.
Yeah, foul ball hits it and you have chaos.
Theoretically, but I mean, what are they going to do, attack the ball? Or are they just going to go everywhere and attack anything that's nearby?
I think that's what they're worried about.
It was high up on that net.
Yeah, but you don't even want, like, if they break off, I guess, and you have anyone that's allergic to bees, you're probably at fault if you don't take care of it.
Yeah, it's all about liability.
Yeah, exactly.
Although,
yeah.
You'd be surprised. I mean, the credential that you get for Astros games, this is why I didn't get my $250 back for uninsured motorist insurance after, you know, my car was brutally assaulted in the Minute Maid parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's,
in fine print, it says, like, yeah, you're actually responsible for yourself, and we're not liable if you die at the ballpark.
Yeah.
On a credential.
I bet you the tickets say the same thing.
Probably. So, yeah, they probably have some.
In a way.
It's Major League Baseball. They're a bunch of cheapos. So they probably have some sort of plausible deniability to weasel their way out of a class action lawsuit if a bunch of bees killed people out there.
Where was the game at?
Oh,
it was in Arizona. Okay. Because I was saying, especially if it was in – it was a Dodgers game.
Well, I'm surprised that Arizona has bees.
I don't know
much about bees, to be
perfectly
honest.
I also hate bees.
Were you scared of them?
When I was a kid, I remember, I think I was in like third grade. We were outside in the playground coming in for school, like from recess. And I just like closed my hand as we're walking, and I just happened to have like a bee on my hand, and I closed it. So it stung my palm.
Oh, that hurts.
That sucked. And for like the longest time, like when it was like time to go to school, I would stand in line for recess and I would keep my hands like open. And I wouldn't close my hands until I would walk inside because I was like, I'm going to catch a bee again. So,
and
yeah.
when you're small, any pain that you experience, you will remember it as being a lot worse than it probably actually was.
Yeah.
I remember I did not get stung by a bee until I was probably like 23. And I used to be a little nervous around bees. And then I got stung by it. I was like, oh, this isn't that bad. I
thought, yeah, like, it's definitely a younger fear thing. It's right. Like when you're younger, you get stung by a bee, it feels like the end of the world.
Yeah. Or you just see them in it and it's terrifying. There's a girl in my elementary school named Alina, and she had like shots on her at all times because everyone was like, if she got stung by a bee, like she was deathly allergic to bees or something. But I don't know how you figure that out, you know?
I think you probably have to get stung by a bee.
I guess so, yeah.
But, I mean, I just have very normal allergies, just like pollen, whatever. But like, for us to find out what my son was allergic to, we didn't know until he showed symptoms of stuff.
It's tricky. What do you do? You do that like thing where you poke and it determines what you were allergic to and not. And yeah, I get pollen and all that stuff too.
Yeah.
I've developed a milk allergy over time. I have no idea how it happened,
that
when
sucks.
It started. But yeah, like it's certain milk, and I think soy too, like F's with my throat and it like closes it up and stuff. Yeah,
that's not good.
Yeah. There was this protein powder I was doing back in the day. It was like whey protein when I first finally started putting on muscle in college. And I remember I bought this new brand because I couldn't figure out where the GNC was at the South Shore Plaza Mall in Braintree, Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
It was in the mall. I just couldn't find it. For an hour and a half. So I went to this vitamin shop that was across the street, and I got a different kind of, you know, just whey protein.
Yeah.
And I was having many allergic reactions that kept on getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And one moment, like, my tongue was swollen up.
Oh,
and I was like, but I paid $40. I was in college, so I'm an idiot. And I'm like, well, I paid $40 for this protein.
So I'm going to finish it and then go back
to the original one. So one moment, one day, I was about to go to my friend's house. And I was getting mad because I couldn't find my keys. Uh-huh. My dad, who is just a constant nagger, he is always like on my ass about like this really small things, like, oh, there's water on the ground here. This is when I didn't know how to troll him back. So he's like yelling at me, and I'm like getting madder and madder and madder after having had some protein. And all of a sudden, like, I unbeknownst to me, like, my heart is pounding. I could barely like breathe out of my throat.
Oh.
And I had hives everywhere.
Oh.
And that's like basically since then I haven't been able to drink milk.
And that's why you didn't know cheese.
It's part of it. I mean, I didn't like cheese before.
Okay.
But it's
it adds to it.
It definitely adds to it now.
Yeah.
Now, like, there have been times where I've had ice cream and I've had too much, and it's been the same thing where, like, my throat kind of closes up.
Damn.
And it's random, too. Like, I never know when it's going to happen.
So it doesn't happen every time?
No, it doesn't. That's what's even crazier.
Interesting.
And I love ice cream.
Yeah, we gave Joseph, like, he had, like, an ear infection. We gave him, like, amoxicillin.
Ooh, yeah.
And he broke out in hives. And I had never seen hives before. And they were, like, moving.
Yeah.
Like, it's like his whole arm was red, and then all of a sudden his chest was red. And I'm like, what is happening right now? Like, I've never seen this before.
That's scary.
And then the worst part was, is they were like, hey, like, yeah, if he's allergic to this one, you won't be allergic to this one. He was. Mm-hmm. And then it was just as bad. And I was like, they wanted to do, like, that test where, like, they prick you. I'm like, he's two. No. I'm like, no. I'm not putting a two-year-old, like, through torture like that. Not fun, but bees also not fun. Anything else you're scared of, Paul?
Let's
know each other a little more. I'm 5'6". I like to stay close to the ground.
Heights.
No roller coasters.
I hate heights.
No roller coasters.
Roller coasters I don't do either because the Final Destination, whichever one. Trucks on the highway with logs in them. Final Destination 2.
Which was the NASCAR one because it made me not want to go to a NASCAR track forever.
That was Final Destination 3.
Okay.
Maybe Final Destination 3 was the roller coaster, 4 was the NASCAR, one or the other. Yes.
Yes. Those movies are awesome.
They're so gory. They're so gory.
NASCAR one's great because it's just like they're like yelling at each other as the stadium's blowing up, and then some chick, like a tire, just comes flying from behind.
That crushes her. Did it crush her or decapitate her?
Either way, ow. Yeah.
Owie!
I hate heights. I don't like roller coasters.
Oh, yeah.
Last time we were in Chicago, my wife made me do the one building with the glass pane.
The Sears Tower?
Yep, Sears Tower.
I think they changed the name, but yeah, it's that tower.
Sears Tower with the glass.
The Williams-Sonoma Tower.
Where, like, you can walk out on the glass and just, like, look down.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that's too much for me. I wouldn't be able to do that.
I did it, and it was, like, the worst thing I've ever done in my life.
I did the Vegas Eiffel Tower, which isn't even as high as the real Eiffel Tower, which I've been up before, too. The real Eiffel Tower, you're inside, so you're actually, like, when you get to the top, so you don't feel that, like, exposed. But the Vegas Eiffel Tower is very small, and I felt like I could hear the metal, like, bending and swaying, and I'm like, I started having a little panic attack, and I was like, I'm out. See a family. I'm out of here.
Yeah, you grew up in Boston the whole time? Okay. So pre 9/11, did you ever get a chance to go up to the Statue of Liberty?
No.
So I got to do that when I was in fourth grade. So like in 2001, like right before.
Is it not? Can you not go there now?
No, not anymore.
Wait, what?
They don't let you go up to the Crown anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. At the time, they had stopped doing the torch because it was not stable enough, I think, anymore. But, like, you could – at least at one point, they stopped doing it so that you could go to the Crown.
Honestly, I didn't even know you could go in it.
It was awesome. Except the problem was it was a spiral staircase up the entire Statue of Liberty. So it was brutal. But, like, when I was up there, I felt the same thing. Like, I felt like I could feel it moving a little bit. And I was like, this is not cool view. I'm done. I was in there less than a minute and a half.
Oh, boy.
I do not like heights either. All right, what is going on? Let's get back to the Astros here a little bit. Lost last night.
They're
but
afraid
chance...
of being less than 10 games under 500.
Hey, is it 5 games under 500 or 10 games under 500?
They're 10 games under 500.
Well, that's the real debate on Astros Twitter right now. Is what is it actually? Because if they won 5 games, if they had won 5 more games, they'd be 500.
Oh.
So...
Yeah, that works. So hey, look, I don't, a rare math dub for
but
Joe.
At the same time, Paul, I say it the way you said it.
They are 10 games under
500. They are 10 games under 500.
They need to win 10 games to be back at 500.
Yeah, we are right. You are all wrong. But is what happened last night just a reflection of what's going on or what the Astros did and did not do this offseason? We'll talk about that next year on Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.